Yeah, that's what we call it. Victorious courage. The Bible actually says the commandment that's most repeated through the Bible, just over and over, by and far, it's one thing. And I've been having conversations with people, starting conversation with people, ask them, hey, what do you think is the most repetitious commandment in the Bible? What do you think is most often said in the Bible? What do you think it has to do with money, with sex, with worshiping God, with, so you know, what do you think it would be? And they kind of say it, they all think it's, they get it wrong. But the most commanded commandment in the Bible is, don't be afraid. Don't fear. And I think this is a section, this commission God gives to Joshua, is an incredible passage that I think we should go to often and see these two times where it says, be strong and courageous. Do not be dismayed. Don't be afraid. This is an important message. This is something God wants to tell us over and over again. You guys know repetition is one of the greatest teachers. You guys know repetition is one of the greatest teachers. You know, you guys know repetition is one. If you hear something over and over again, it's probably important. So God over and over again says, don't worry, don't be afraid, be courageous. So we're going to see that. So this is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to frame this message, five things, when to be courageous, when to have courage, when to have power from God that calls us to do risky things from time to time. And honestly, Barry just said it, it's risky just to wake up every morning, isn't it? It's a risk to just step up and start doing what's normal in life, right? It's risky to just kind of live that life, go to work. It's risky. You just feel like we're taking a risk. We're stepping out. We're living a different way. We're putting ourselves on the line in so many different ways. So this applies in so many incredible ways. So the Bible encourages us. Joshua is a book that really encourages us to take some risk. And when we take the risk that God wants us to take, He'll be with us and He'll help us through. Now, a lot of times, a lot of our worry and anxiety is because we take risky moves that God doesn't want us to take. And we begin to accrue all of this stress, anxiety, fear, because we're taking risk without the presence of God. But God calls us, He encourages us to take risk with Him and have courage and practice courage. So number one this morning, be courageous when. So we're going to frame this times when you should be courageous. So be courageous when God is moving things around. Be courageous when God is moving things around. So Joshua here, he is overwhelmed. We're going to read the text in a second, and we're going to see he's going to be very overwhelmed because his mentor, Moses, was the leader of a movement. 3 million slaves were rescued out of Egypt, and they traveled about 100 miles or more to get to this land. And they have had all kinds of conflicts. I mean, people have just straight up jumped out of the mountains and attacked them. So they've had to become warriors. They've also had to become preachers. They've had to like go up to this mountain. God has spoke to them. They have this law. So they're fought all these crazy people that have adopted all this Egyptian worship. Moses and Joshua have kind of had the task of trying to bring them into true worship and doing the right thing. They used to like to do all this like sexual, weird worship stuff. And they're talking them out of that and talking them into worshiping the true living God. It's overwhelming to Joshua because this main leader, Moses, had led these people, and now he's dead. He died suddenly, actually. He went up to view the land, and it actually says that God just took him away. He died. He went to be with God. And so here is Joshua, younger, less experienced. I mean, he just probably seemed like a lifetime ago. He was a slave. All he knew to do was to make bricks, put bricks somewhere. He's not a high-skilled guy, but he's been walking with Moses, been watching Moses. But now Moses is dead. And so now Joshua is going to have to lead. So the whole book is called, it's called Joshua, because it's kind of about Joshua kind of becoming this new leader that's going to lead the people. So he is overwhelmed. And a lot of times I say we need to be courageous even when God is moving stuff around. Even when we know loss, even when we know disruption, just realize that God may be just moving things around. He may be just moving people out of situations so that he can move you into situations. And as a church plant, we know loss in kind of a weird way, because we meet people, we kind of reach people, we see people get connected with Christ, and then sometimes they kind of disappear. Sometimes they move away. Sometimes they disappear for other reasons. Sometimes they literally just disappear and we can't find them anywhere. We don't know where they went. Because this is Baltimore, after all. Stuff like that happens, right? So we know loss in kind of a weird way, but we will experience loss. It is part of the human situation, and they experience loss. The same thing happened to Littlefoot. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In the Land Before Time, right? He was trying to get somewhere, and he lost his mama and the whole story. They actually made about 20 sequels to Land Before Time. Littlefoot's this little brontosaurus trying to make it on his own. Same thing happened to Simba, right? The lion, his father Mufasa, he was going to be king, but at an early age, Simba lost his father, right? The big what were those, deers or something? They stomped his father, and he had to Hakuna Matata. He found some pigs and a Timon, and he had to find a way to keep on going, right? We think about Skywalker, all our great stories. He lost his Obi-Wan Kenobi. He didn't know his own father, Darth Vader, like killed his mentor, and Skywalker had to go it along. He had to figure it out after he lost stuff. I think I have one more. Rocky, all the Rocky movies. Like, he lost his Mickey, his coach. He lost Apollo Creed, his mentor. Yeah, I think he lost his Adrian in these later. They're gonna make Rockies forever. You know, they're gonna keep making them. And he loses his mentor, and he had to go on. And so did Joshua, and so will you, right? We'll experience loss, and God will raise us up to do the things that he's called us to do. So let's read it. Verse 1, Joshua chapter 6. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. This is super, super significant. So the text reminds us of how those last five books ended. Deuteronomy ended with Moses dying. So after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord spoke to Moses, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant. Now Joshua wasn't the son of a nun. His dad's name was Nun. All right, just to make that clear. He was Moses' assistant. So verse 2, God said this, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people. And by the way, going over the Jordan wasn't an easy task either. You got to get 3 million people, maybe more than that. You got to cross this huge raging river. How are you going to do that? You're going to do it, he says. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. So I love how he says, God says, arise. And we just studied Jonah. Do you remember God? He appeared to Jonah. He said the same thing. He's like, Jonah, there's this crazy city. It's like 500 miles away. You hate them. They're going to try to kill you. But I want you to go there and share some news of repentance with them. And he says that. He says, arise and go to Nineveh. In the beginning, the book of beginnings, Genesis chapter 13, God kind of plops himself down into the life of a man named Abraham. He began all this Israel stuff. The first guy, he's called Father Abraham. We have a song where we shake our arms and legs. We say, Father Abraham had many sons. Some of you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, it's okay. It's not a great song. I mean, it is a great song, but I'll teach it to you later. But Abraham, he began this movement of God that was the coming of the nation of Israel. But he walked Abraham around, and he said, arise and go to this land that I'm showing you. So there's this theme through Scripture that says arise. There's this great verse in Isaiah 60, verse 1, where God is speaking, and he says, arise, shine, your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So rise, stand up, arise. It is time for you to get active through the prophets. The prophets would use this word, get up, arise, come up. Then Jesus comes on the scene. Right? And he sees people that don't walk. They have never walked a day in their life. And what does he say to them? Arise. Get up. Walk with me. I've got some work for you to do. And then ultimately there's a day where Jesus dies for our sins on the cross. He takes the punishment that we deserve. He puts it on himself. He dies on the cross. And then God says to him, arise. And Jesus rises up and he walks. So God is always consistently through the narrative of redemption. God has called people to stand up, to arise up and have courage. Even on your worst days. Even when there's death. Even when there is struggle. Realize that God is moving stuff around. And he's calling us to get up. So one time I was really overwhelmed, kind of like this. I just wanted to share the story. I had to get up, I guess. I had to rise up. Rise above. That's a good way to say it, right? But it was Easter, and I was a young preacher. I hadn't preached a lot. And it's like, aren't you still a young preacher? I have preached a good bit at this point. So I think I can get a little better. You guys pray with your prayer. I can become a little better of a preacher. But I have actually been preaching a while. But when I was really young, it was Easter, and I was like, I was an associate pastor. And my pastor, who will be here next week, you'll want to see him. He has the greatest. And I'm scanning the room for mustaches. I see a few good ones, but this pastor, Royce, he has the greatest mustache. I know that's ridiculous, but if you show up for church this Sunday, he's probably going to listen to this on podcast and fuss at me later for talking about his mustache. But he's going to be here. He's the guy he's like a cowboy mustache. It's for real. So anyway, he's a longtime preacher. I won't say how old he is, but he's preached a lot of Easter Sundays. And so one thing that he did, we had this big cross in our sanctuary. This is several years ago. And there was a big cross. And there's this tradition, you guys may not know, but the cross has, what does it start out with? On Good Friday you put a black cloth on the cross, represents the death of Christ. And then I think there's like a white cloth that's put on it. Then for Easter you put a white one or a purple one. There you go. Okay, you're getting some head nods. So on Easter, you put a purple robe. So this pastor, Royce, I was the associate pastor. He, it was a big cross. I mean, it was like 12, 15 feet, maybe 100 feet high. I don't know. And so he's climbing up on this cross, getting the thing, it's the night before Easter, and he's putting this thing on, and he falls and breaks his arm, like in half almost. I mean, it was bad. And so he calls me, like late at night, 9 or 10, he's like, rise up, get a rise. You're preaching Easter Sunday. Everybody and their mama's coming, you know, and you're going to have to preach Easter Sunday, and you have, like, no notice at all, right? And so I did that. It went okay. It went good. So sometimes things happen, and we realize that it feels like our world is getting turned upside down, but it may be God moving stuff around. Maybe God wanted me to have that experience. And that kind of thing pushed me into having the courage that I needed to stand up before several hundred people that day to preach with just a little bit of preparation. God was building courage in me. And here's the big thing that I want to see from that text too. God says, Joshua, you got to get up. You got to rise up. Because guess what? You have some people to move around. And Joshua had 3 million. I don't know if you'll have 3 million, but somebody is counting on you to get up in your faith. Someone around you is counting on you. They need to see a consistent life of faith from you. They need to see leadership from you. So we need to be courageous even when God is moving things around. And I know a lot of your stories, a lot of us know what Barry's gone through the last couple of weeks. I hear stuff you guys are going through this morning. I know there's so much going on, but I want you to know that God is in control, and maybe he's just moving some stuff around to build some courage in you and call you to stand up. Number two, we need to be courageous when God has made promises. So land was a big thing in the Bible. The Bible, the story of redemption, starts out with land. God creates Adam, then he creates Eve. But even before that, he created land. and he put them in this land. He called the land Eden. He said, this is your land. It's a very important land. I want you to cultivate it. And the idea in Genesis 2, 1 and 2 is actually cultivate this land and expand it to the ends of the earth. Take this land and grow it out. Make more land. We're going to have a lot of land. then the fall happened. Adam and Eve sinned against God. They were pushed out of the land. They were expelled from the land. They went to more difficult land because of their sin, because of their not trusting God. They're not rising up. They're not walking with God. They're not having the courage. So they're pushed out of the land. Ultimately, they're told that one day there will come a son who will get you back some land. And so Abraham came along. He wasn't the son of promise, but he began the seed of promise that would one day bring a son. Abraham was promised this land, the same land that Joshua was promised. We're going to read it here. And ultimately, where it goes is that it's not so much land on earth anymore, but the Bible talks about that one day that God will create new land. There will be a new heavens, a new earth that we will go and possess. And we will, again, be in this kind of utopian heaven, this land that God will create for us. So listen to this just kind of digging into this theme through Scripture. God's talking to Joshua, verse 2, be courageous even when God has made you promises. So God has promised this land to Abraham, this ancestor, hundreds of years before Joshua, and now he's re-promising it to Joshua. He had promised it to Moses and to the people. So verse 3, it says, every place that the sole of your foot, once you cross this Jordan, once you go north of it, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, that was kind of a location, the name of a land, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. And then he says this, another real bold promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. And that's repeated in the New Testament. As we fully understand Jesus, Hebrews says that he has been your propitiation. He has died for your sins. He has brought you into the Holy of Holies. He will never leave you or forsake you. His promises to you are tremendous. And I wish I had time to go through a lot of the promises, but I did want to say this about the promise-giving and promise-keeping God. When you read your Bible, when you read a book like Joshua, we begin to realize that these are promises made. Some people say that the Old Testament is God's promises made, and the New Testament is God's promises kept. So in the Old Testament, we see that God is making promises, and really in the New Testament, in Jesus, we see that God is keeping all his promises in a full way. So the Old Testament is promises made, the New Testament is promises kept. So one day, several years ago, I made a big promise. And I was super nervous about it. I was really scared. It was my wedding day. I also had a really bad cold. And everybody thought I just like hated the idea of getting married. But I really just felt miserable. I had a really bad cold. My mother-in-law here, she's smiling a little bit. But it was a rough day. I was really scared. Again, there was a lot of people there. And we did the ring thing. You know, you say like the rings. And so the preacher said, Austin, I want you to take this ring and repeat after me. And he said, with this ring, I thee wed and promise to be yours forever. So this is the first opportunity to speak at my wedding. And I had to say the word ring. And I said, it was like coughing, with this wing, I thee wed, and everybody did what you just did. They started laughing at me in the congregation because I was so nervous. I was so scared. But marriage is an important time of promise, and it reminds us that God is kind of married to this idea of all that he's promised us. He has promised us eternal life. He has promised us in this text to never leave us or forsake us, to be with us. He has promised us courage, and he is going to be good on it. There's probably things to Merrill. I'm trying to keep all that promise, but it's hard. It's hard to keep that. God though always keeps his promises. We can always rely on him, and we can be courageous because of his promise. He has promised his favor on you. You have not earned it, so it's not as if you can lose it, because you haven't earned it. He's just given you favor. We use the word grace. That's what it means. God has given you favor. We say things like, he loves you, he cares about you, he is pursuing you. He has given you favor. And he tells Joshua here, wherever your foot steps on, it will be yours. I'll give it to you. And there's a real promise that we can claim as his kingdom-bringing people. Where we step our feet, we are bringing the kingdom of God. When we step into our home, when we step into our workplaces, when we step into our neighborhood, we can pray courageous prayers. God, wherever my foot steps, I want your kingdom to come. Wherever I go, I want you to give me favor. I want you to give me success. I want you to give me the ability to see your kingdom expand. I want to see wherever my foot goes, wherever I walk, I want to see the rule and reign of Jesus to come into people's lives, into my children's lives, into my neighbor's lives, into my co-workers' lives, into my friends' lives. It says here in the text, God's talking to people that are going to stand up to Joshua and say, you are not getting this land. I am going to fight you. And Joshua says, they will not be able to stand to you. He says, Joshua, you stand up and nobody can stand against you. And in a similar way, the scripture says that no weapon can be formed against us. And we do our life, we can live courageously because Jesus has died on the cross. He has given us the power. He has risen from the dead. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Nothing can stand before you today because Jesus has given you the courage. The kingdom of God will not be stopped. So the agenda in Joshua's day, there was literal land needed for the kingdom. In your day, we need to see people claimed for Jesus. We need to see souls won for Jesus. And nothing can stop us. Nothing will stop us because the kingdom of God is coming. So be courageous when God is moving things around. Be courageous because when God has made promises. Be courageous when God has work for you to do. If you look at me for a second, I want to promise you something. I want you to know, some of you don't even know, before you were born, God had work for you to do. And some of you, you may be in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, your 60s, 80s, you're just now kind of discovering, oh, God had work for me to do. He had something for me to walk in. So we're no longer messing around. We're beginning to embrace what work has God called me to do. The Bible says that he has began a good work in you, and he will see it unto completion by the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he has work for you to walk into. And I know a lot of times you look to me, what do I do? What do I need to do? What can I do this Sunday? And I can give you some stuff to do, but think even bigger than that. God has a calling on every one of your lives. Romans 8 says that everybody that he saves, he calls. And everybody that he calls, he foreknew. And then we're speaking of the fact that he had work to do for you at the beginning of your conception. Even before that, he had good things for you to do. So look at what he tells Joshua. This is a great verse. This is a memory verse time, church. It says, verse 6, be strong and courageous, for you shall call this people, you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. So Joshua walks up to this platform. He's nervous. He's got to talk to these people. He's got to tell them how we're going to get across this big body of water. And then there's people trying to kill us on the other side. But like, that's our land and we got to go get it. It's a big task. And so Joshua's walking up to this thing and he's looking for courage. And God says, guess what? It's already done. You're going to do it, Joshua. It's going to happen because I've already started. I've already called you to this work. It's already going to be completed. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? Like, oh, you know, how am I going to do this? And God says, it's already done. It's already finished. And through our God, our warrior God, that God is salvation. Jesus has won this battle for us. We are going to finish this work. God likes to work through people. Right? So God could have just like got on the scene, took his hand, like moved all the people. Oh, because he can move people, right? We already got it. Like he can take you out. He can move people. He can move things around. So he could have just moved in, but he wanted to use Joshua. He wanted to use the people of Israel. He wanted to show them some things. And the same thing, he wants to use you. There's work to be done. So I try to teach my kids that there's work to be done. I had them out yesterday pulling weeds. Just pulling weeds, and they did not like it. But I said, look at all these weeds. There is work to be done. We got to get these weeds out. And then they would offer suggestions. Like, hey, don't pull up those flowers. That's mama's flowers. Like, pull them up. Get these weeds out of here. No, we did replant those flowers. But I sometimes I just make my kids dig a hole. Like, just start digging. Like, I'm bored, Dad. Don't tell me you're bored. Start digging a hole. Go get a shovel. Start digging a hole. There's always work to be done. And God's called us to work. He's called us to see things. Be strong and courageous. I'm going to cause these people to inherit. I want you to know today there's work to be done. So number four, be courageous when you read the Word of God. Be courageous when you read the Word of God. So we're going to read verses 7 and 8 here. But be courageous when you read the Word of God. All they had were these five books that I was talking about. We now have 66 books. Joshua's one of them. But they had these five books that Moses gave them. And so that's what they're referring to when they talk about the law. It's something they just got in the last couple of years. God wrote these Ten Commandments down. He wrote all these books explaining the Ten Commandments. They had chronicled the story of creation and Exodus. And so they had these five books. They called them the law. So that's what we're talking about here. So they just had five books. And God says, this is all you need to be courageous. But family, I want you to know now, not only do you have 66 books, but you also have these New Testament books that tell us about this Jesus, the Son of Promise that came to take away sin from the world, to take away our punishment, to give us an abundant life. So we have the Word. So here are these words as God tells Joshua what he needs to be courageous, because he has a challenging challenge before him. And this is what he needs. You need the Word. You need to read the Word. You need to get into the Word of God, and you need to get the Word of God into you. So he says this in verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And I want you to know, family, this book, the Bible, I don't actually have one. I have a lot of scripture written up here, so I have some of the Bible. This book has changed my life. I'll tell you where I was headed without this book. To despair. I was headed to a life wasted. I was going to have a little fun and a lot of misery. But then it's not that I just found this book. It's that the Lord found me through His Word. And He began to show me stuff. He began to show me courage. He began to show me that I'm not alone. He began to show me that I don't have to be the only person in my life with any sense, right? But the book shows me the church. Like this church planting stuff, if you like it, if it seems kind of cool, just know we're just kind of doing what this book said. And we've been doing what this book has said for thousands of years. This book is powerful. It is not God. The book is not God. The 66 books are not God, but they connect us to God. And it's a powerful book that will fill your life with, the book just promises here, success, No, we should define that. That doesn't mean pockets full of cash always. It doesn't mean that all your problems go away. It promises us courage. A life where we don't live in fear of fear, because our God has annihilated fear with his word. Just real quick, what it says, there's a progression of what it says, and it emphasizes doing what the Bible says, obeying Scripture. So it basically says, God says to Joshua, you need some real courage. You got a big job ahead of you. You got overwhelming odds. Because there's like no chance you're even going to get across that water with all these people. And then you got like not just one war to fight, but you have dozens of wars to fight. How are you going to do that, Joshua? And God says, I've given you my word. You need to do it. You need to obey that word. So he says this, obey it. Don't turn from it. Don't go left or right. Just do the word. Follow the word. It says talk about it. Talk about the word. Think about it a lot. Meditate on it day and night. And then he comes back. He says, do it. You gotta do it. And this is what you're always telling your men in your life. Just read the instructions. Like, I wanted you to make me a bed that looks like a helicopter. Read the instructions. Right? Men, no need. No need for instructions. Never. Right? So this is the word of God. Just read it. And it's more than an instruction book. It's a living and active thing that it pierces our heart. It changes you. It's changed my life. So when can we be courageous? We need to be courageous when God's moving things around. Even though it may be painful, he's moving things around to make you courageous. Be courageous when God has made promises. Be courageous when God has work for you to do, and he does have work for you to do. Be courageous when you read the word. And then finally here, be courageous when God is with you. I talked earlier about fear. I feel like a lot of us have a lot of fear and anxiety because we do risky things that God doesn't ordain us, he doesn't call us to do. And we find ourselves out there with all this stress, all this stuff going on in our life. But God does call us to do risky things with him. So sometimes we've been through so many years, we've been through so many experiences, we've done so many risky things, we're afraid to do a risky thing with the Lord. Like trust him fully with our life, or go through with maybe baptism, or walk out certain obedience in our life. It's too risky because we have burned ourselves with all the other risks that we've taken in our life. I read this article, and it was about scratch-offs. And aren't those scratch-off stories, when someone wins a few $1,000, aren't the stories always the same? Right? They're like, oh, I just had this feeling, and I knew I needed to play my numbers today. I know I needed to do it. But the thing was, all a million other days, I had that same feeling where I had to play those same numbers. But I had this, the story is always, I had this feeling. And I hate those stories because they make a lot of broke people spend hundreds of dollars every year in those scratch-offs, right? But I had this feeling I had to do this scratch off, but they don't really talk about that. Actually, a million other people had that same feeling that same day to play their numbers. That's a risk that God didn't tell you to take, isn't it? And one out of a million, I guess, you might win the $40,000 thing, right? But what if we just took that much risk that we take without God, maybe, and started taking some risk with God? Where God says, hey, I want you to walk this out in your life. Like, what would sexual purity look like in your life? What would financial, what if you gave all your finances over to me? What if we took that risk with God? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. Fear would be alleviated because we can be courageous when we take risk with God. So he says this, verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. This is probably the verse to memorize. Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So the Lord is with us. So we're taking risk and the Lord is with us. It is risky to try to get 3 million people to go across the Jordan and then fight battle after battle, city. They went city to city. It's a good read You should read it because it'll drum up some questions about who God is and what he asked those people to do. But he went city to city fighting these battles, reclaiming their land. That's a 1 out of 1,000,000 chance, right? It's less likely for the book of Joshua to be written than for you. It's for you to win the lottery, right? But if you're with God, it's 100% chance, right? Because God already told Joshua, it's done. It's going to happen. You're going to do it. And he's given us, this is known as the commission. God is coming out. He's saying, hey, take this risk with me. Take this risk with me. And then it's kind of, it's changed. It's adapted. And Jesus gives it to us personally. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20, and I wrote this on your page. I encourage you to memorize this. But it says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. So Jesus gives us this commission. We call it the Great Commission. He calls us to go everywhere and tell everyone about the message of Jesus. It actually doesn't say that. It actually says to make disciples, which is impossible. You can't make, that means that you need to go out and make people follow Jesus. Well, that's impossible. I can't make anybody do anything. But if God is with me, he can make disciples. And he calls me to be a part of that. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and bring a little more clarity to that at Life Group in the Park Wednesday. But that's what he called. And I really wanted to point this out because it is a commandment that says, I will be with you. It's a risky thing to do. I will be with you. So we need to take this risk with God. So when should we be courageous? Family, when should we be courageous? We should be courageous when God is moving stuff around in our life, which is always, right? We should be courageous when God is making and keeping his promises, which is always. We should be courageous when God has work for us to do, which is always. We should be courageous when we read the Word of God, right, which should be always, and we should be courageous when God is with us, which is always. So we got this word. We throw it around a lot. It is a great word, but it's encourage. And you guys, you can come on up if you want to get ready for music. But we speak this word, encourage. It's kind of the Christian word, man. I want to get encouraged. What does that word mean? And I think you break it down. It's encourage. How do I get courage in people? You ever thought about that way? Like a lot of times, like you try to encourage somebody, it's like, you know, I can't dance. And you're like, oh, yes, you can dance, but they can't dance. They can't dance. Well, that's not real courage, is it? But what would it take like to, I don't know why I started talking about dancing. I don't have any real point to that. But what does it look like to actually build courage into people? Well, I think it's pointing them to this God, who is always with us, who has sovereignly called us to a work that he will complete through us. He's called us to take risk with him, to walk with him in obedience, getting into his word, following him. And that's where real courage is going to come from, the fact that he has made promises. And the thing is, he'll move stuff around in your life. As soon as you start walking and it seems normal, he'll start moving stuff around. But take courage, be encouraged, and encourage other people, because know that your God is at work in your life, and he's called you to a work that he will accomplish. Let's stand and sing today. I want to encourage you to look at your papers that I've given you, and if you've made a decision today to trust Jesus, I want you to mark that. Maybe someone today has said, you know what, Austin said something about baptism, I read it. You guys can stand. Don't leave the front row alone standing. Let's stand together. We're going to sing this last song, and then just encourage you guys to hang out, spend some time talking. We have a few minutes after this. I want to encourage you to come out Wednesday. This stuff's on your paper. You're going to be in the park Wednesday at 6. We're going to also, you're welcome to come join some of us. We're going to be prayer walking here. May not even know what that is. Basically just going to walk around and pick up some trash and pray for our neighborhood and walk around and meet people. That'll be Friday here at 6. And you do feel encouraged to join Barry in fasting Wednesday, whatever that may mean to you. We're so glad you guys are here. We want to sing.